But praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn to John 16. John 16. We've been in 21 days of prayer, and we just finished, I think, day 14. And corporate prayer, and it's been really rich. I probably say this every time, but some of the richest prayer time, corporate prayer that I've had has been during these last few weeks. One particular one may be one of the strongest prayer times I've ever had. And I've had a lot of them over the years, 30-something years, been a person of prayer, and so that's saying a lot. But that's the way it should be. It should be progressive. I don't want my best days behind me. I think it gets better and better and brighter in God. And so I thank God for all the wonderful things that have happened in the past, but I'm not satisfied with that. I know God's got more. John 16, verse 5, and, you know, John 13 through 17, probably some of my favorite maybe chapters, if you put them together in the Bible. I've read those chapters many, many times. I've been reading John 17, Jesus' prayer, a lot during the last few weeks for his disciples and for the body of Christ, and so that's powerful. But it takes place. What makes it even stronger, these words, if it just in themselves, they're awesome. But this was the Last Supper. He shared this during his, you know, before he's going to the cross. And so he's giving his final words and his final instructions. And, you know, when the kids were younger, if we were going on a trip, we'd have all these instructions. These are the important things. I don't know if they ever followed any of them. I remember one time I got really mad at Harry and Grayson for the one thing I asked you to do, and you didn't do it. And they had all their excuses. They were all flimsy, but anyway. But then also, I mean, like when we go up for different trips for the church here, and we don't do it now because our team, we've worked together for so long, years and years. We don't necessarily have to do that. But in the earlier days, I mean, I had these emails, and I remember those, Nate, 20 different things that had to be done while we were gone. You know, so it's the final things because I'm going to be gone. We need these things taken care of. And so keep that in mind as we're reading this from Jesus. I mean, his heart is heavy. I mean, he wants the disciples to make it. He doesn't want them to fail. He's invested a lot in them in these last 3.5 years. And so keep that in mind as we're reading these words. So John 16, verse 5. But now I'm going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Yeah, of course. Sorrow, and so look what the Amplified says. Sorrow has filled your hearts, taking complete possession of them. I mean, they're sad. They don't want Jesus to leave. I mean, they've been through a lot of things together, and so they're not happy about this. Now look at verse 7. However, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. I mean, they can't get wrap their minds around this. Because if I do not go away, the comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby. I love how the Amplified does that. It makes the, you know, longer reading, but I mean, a word like the comforter, the helper, it's difficult to just use one word. And so it gives you kind of insight into that meaning, into the Greek, what that meaning of that word is. The comforter will not come to you into close fellowship with you, but if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Now that word comforter, which is the Greek word paraclete, is used 4 times in John 13 through 17. And I won't read all the different places where it uses that word, but it says that the Holy Spirit will live in you. He will be in you forever. He will testify of me. I mean, a lot of things, you know, show you things to come, reveal the past, my past words to you, which is very important for the disciples, because there was a lot of things that, Jesus said to them they didn't understand. Their natural minds just didn't understand what he was saying. So, you know, again, imagine how they felt being with him for 3.5 years. They've been through so much together. John says that if all the miracles could be recorded, there'd be volumes of books written. Really too many to count of all the different miracles. So we just have certain ones listed in the Gospels. But if all of them were I mean, there, some of the services, it says they were all healed. If you were to go through and get a testimony, you know, that'd be a lot of different testimonies. I mean, all the different things that Jesus did. And so, I mean, the disciples were there for all these things and amazing things. And so they're trying to understand it to be profitable. How can this be profitable, good, expedient, advantageous that I go away? The disciples just don't understand. Because Jesus is saying, if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come. And this is in the Greek, it's parakletos or paraclete. And it's, again, in the Greek, there's just rich words that are used. A lot of meaning to them. English sometimes doesn't do justice to the words that we say. But this word is a very rich word. And what it means is, for a comforter or a helper, it means someone that's called to one side to help, to aid. Another definition is to plead your case before a judge, like a lawyer or advocate. It means to give counsel. It means to open up your eyes to truth, which we call revelation. It means to give you divine strength. It's an empowerment. Divine strength, the supernatural strength and abilities to give you courage. That's all wrapped up in that word comforter, paraclete. And let me try to give you an example of something. Like, let's just say this morning, and maybe this happened to you, you wake up this morning and you've got some big object that's blocking your driveway and you can't get out. And you try to move that obstacle and do all you can in yourself to move it, but you can't. What you do is call a friend, and that friend comes, and the two of you, something you couldn't do on your own, the two of you move that obstacle out of the way. That's the helper. That's the comforter. That's the strengthener. That's the standby. That's the Holy Spirit. His job is to come alongside and help. Come alongside and help you do things you can't do yourself. And it's divine. It's supernatural. It's supernatural power, supernatural abilities. Now, that friend that came didn't move it for you. He helped you move it. The Holy Spirit's not going to do it for you. But he's going to help you. He's going to give you a divine enablement. He's going to come alongside and help. And thank God it's one of those friends that when they come, they're not all mad at you for calling them. Upset with you, you know, or griping, complaining. You ever have those kind of friends? They're going to come help you move, but they're going to gripe all the time while they're with you. And you're like, I don't need your help. You know, it's not that good. I mean, it's like an expert comes along to help. Someone that's maybe moved 1,000 times and strong. That's the kind of person you want to help. And then not only are they helping you, they're encouraging you. You can do it. You know, words of wisdom, counsel. And if you fall while you're doing it, they're going to be there to comfort you. That's the kind of help we need. And that is the kind of help that's available to each one of us through the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's another element of this helper that I really want to stress here. Is in this word, it means the same kind. talking about this comforter, meaning it's not somebody different than Jesus. It's the same kind as Jesus. And that's vital, because the Holy Spirit takes the role of Jesus. Jesus' earthly role takes his role, because Jesus is now in heaven. And so the beauty of the whole thing, and now the Holy Spirit, talking about the 12, the Holy Spirit, Jesus doesn't have to be there to help in order to get the job done. He can be in all 12 at the same time in 12 different locations. Do you see how this is more profitable? He doesn't have to be in one central location or to be with them. He can be everywhere at once. I don't know how he does it. But that is awesome. The Holy Spirit can be in all the believers all throughout the world at the same time being a help. At the same time being a supernatural help. Jesus can be all over the world at one time. Don't you know it just drives the devil crazy? Why do we crucify this guy? We were tricked. Because now he's got to deal with all of us all over the world. So it is to our advantage. Disciples, it took the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit for them to finally grasp it. But look at what happened in the early church and the power that was exhibited and that happened in the early church. John 16, let's go verse 13. Let's just keep on reading there. It talks a little bit more about the purpose and the role of the Holy Spirit. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, he is the Spirit of truth. You need some truth? We need the truth. A lot of folks that don't want the truth, but we need the truth. The Spirit of truth and the truth-giving Spirit comes. He will guide you into all truth, the whole, full truth, for he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him. This is the one that's in you. Messages from God the Father will be given to the Holy Spirit in you to be given to you in a way that you can hear it, in a way that you can understand it. He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come. Anybody need that? That will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify me because he will take of, receive, draw upon what is mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. It's better than a cell phone. We love our, and I don't use the word love, but I'll just say it for you. We love our cell phones. But, and I was just praying, Lord, you just help me be graceful today. I'm going to be graceful. But you'd think we love our devices more than we love the Holy Spirit by the way we treat it. I'll just let that kind of... Pastor's so mean. Yeah, because you can look now, and I think I kind of hate it, this feature where it tells you how many hours you've been daily on your device. Who likes that feature? Anybody? Praise God, 5 hours today on my phone. 5 hours? Everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said that he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. That is awesome. And I love the fact that God wants us to know things. He doesn't want to live our lives in confusion. He doesn't want our live our lives in the dark. I was working, which is always not a good thing. I was working under our sink this week. Like, you know, Grayson, I can look good the part, but I can't always fulfill the things I start to do. And sometimes I make it worse. But I was working under the sink, and, you know, I can see, but yet not clearly enough. I'm working with these little screws and different things, and I can see, but it's not as bright as I need it. So you see one of these stick-on lights, these little round things? I like these things. I'm going to just buy them and stick them all over the house. But anyway, I thought, you know, I've got an extra one. I went and put it in there and popped the button and light came. I can see. And I could see already. It wasn't total darkness, but it was clearer. The Holy Spirit will make things clearer. And if you're in the dark, He'll bring revelation. But He doesn't operate through confusion. That's not His MO. He likes to bring light and likes to bring understanding. And He wants you to know things. And, you know, I'm not going around saying, it's just all a mystery to me. It's just a mystery. God's just a mystery. I don't say that. There are things that are mysteries. But I'm believing for Him to reveal to me what I need to know for today. And it's clear here, He wants to. He's been put inside me to reveal things to me. He wants me to know. Well, I'm bringing all this in because I got to go by the title. I mean, I got to, you know, if you have your title, I've got to have the message. So it's our partner in prayer. So I need to get into prayer. Is that okay? That was just kind of the foundation for our partner in prayer. So one of the names of the helper, the comforter, is intercessor. And what that word means, it's one who stands in the gap for someone else. An intercessor reconciles two parties. So, but in the case of a lost person that's lost from God's plan, God's will, God's presence, that you stand in the gap for that person to connect that person to God. You're interceding to bring those parties together. And so that's part of His role is, well, if, to connect you to God, but to help in prayer for people you're praying about, to connect them, to help connect them to God. This is of intercession in the Old Testament is the story of Abraham. Remember the whole thing about Sodom and God's talking to him about He's going to destroy Sodom, and Abraham is concerned because Lot lives there, Lot and his wife and all that, and family members. And so Abraham loves his family and cares about his family. Doesn't want God to destroy them. So he begins this negotiation. What is he doing? He intercedes for Lot. I don't know if I was out of this great compassion for all the rest of the people, but it was definitely for Lot. And so he has this conversation with God, and he says, Lord, if there's 50 righteous, will You spare Sodom? And He says, if there's 50, if we can find 50, we'll spare it. And then Abraham says, now don't get mad with me now, but how about 45? I mean, I need people like that negotiating for me contracts. I mean, don't get mad about it, but how about 45? And God says, if there's 45, I will spare Sodom. And then he goes on and he gets God down to 10. And he says, and God says, if there's 10, if we find 10, and Abraham says, yes, because I know there's Lot and his wife, and he's got two daughters, and there's, son-in-laws, and there's other members of the family there, and servants and all that. I know there's gonna be 10. Wrong. Actually, four left. And one of those turned back and turned into a pillar of salt. So three made it out. Surely them, but what was happening? What was happening there? It was Abraham was interceding, standing in the gap. And so the Holy Spirit is the intercessor. He's in us. He'll help us stand in the gap. Ezekiel 22, verse 30 says this, "And I sought a man among who would who should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none." At least at this time, God is looking in the earth for someone that will stand in the gap. But isn't it sad? He found no one. And I don't think God's changed. I know he hasn't changed because it says in the scriptures, he desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's his will. That's his desire. And he loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten son. No greater love than for one to lay down their lives for their friends. So I would just say today, he's searching for people that will stand in the gap for the lost. And we got a bunch of them in this world. And we certainly can't do it on our own. I'll talk about that in a minute. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to do it. It's an impossible job in ourselves. But with the Holy Spirit, we can do it. We need to do it. But that involves us wanting to participate. He's not going to come and, you know, come down and make you stand in the gap. He's not, you know, he's the intercessor. He can do all those things, but he cannot do anything unless you're willing. And that's why we talk about yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And it's not easy to do. Why is it not easy to do? Because the flesh. The flesh wants to get in the way. The world helps us with the flesh. The marketers help us with the flesh. And so we're influenced just in ourselves. But as we grow and mature, hopefully in the things of God, more and more we'll yield ourselves to him. And when we do that, that means he can work in the earth. He cannot just arbitrarily do things in the earth. Now, I wish it was so because that, you know, I wish he could just go to some neighborhood and just straighten it up. He can't do it until someone goes in there. He can't just come into your family and straighten up your family. Someone's got to stand in the gap. So he's looking. And I want to be one of those ones that here I am. Lord, I'm available. And one of the things we're wanting here, and part of what we're trying to do in the corporate prayer, it's not just a good thing to do at the beginning of the year. Well, this is the spiritual thing to do. No, there's a purpose to it. First of all, we need it. First of all, we want God's, and then we want God's direction for the ministry and for our lives for 2019. But then we want to make ourselves, because we know the power of corporate prayer, we want to make ourselves available to stand in the gap for people that need it. And so it's important. So there's a lot happening, and that's why we're wanting. And again, I'm just giving it to God. Make it available to you. You choose. But things are happening. There's a reason for it. Standing in the gap. He's looking. And I hope it is us. Now let's look over in Romans 8, verse 26. This is going to be a two-part series today, at least. Maybe we'll just turn it into like last year, remember the love message? We'll just take it on into August. Romans 8, man, what a chapter. Who likes Romans 8? Romans 8, man, it's good. If you could just have like one chapter to save, I mean, there's a lot of ones I would want to have, just that one, but there's a good case for Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 26. So too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weaknesses, for we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit Himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. For He who searches the hearts of men knows what the mind of the Holy Spirit, what His intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. All right, so it starts off with the Holy Spirit. He comes to help. And I've already, you know, talked about that as far as Him being the helper. But I want you to have this idea when we come into prayer, it's not just us by ourselves praying. We're praying in cooperation and in partnership with the Holy Spirit. It's not all on you. And so prayer really is easy. And I'm not saying it's not a burden. And I'm not saying you don't have feelings and emotions when you pray. And it is heavy. But it really is not hard to pray if you get the understanding that the helper, the comforter is in me. The intercessor is in me to help me pray. And what He does is help. And so we need as believers, and just so many people just don't see themselves this way. And I understand because of the watered down mamby-pamby teaching. I mean, I could say it stronger, but I won't. I mean, it's just, and I'm not faulting, they just don't know. But we need believers to understand who they are and their authority. God's given us authority. And we let so much happen in our world because we're not walking in our authority. We let the devil operate and move in our world when we've been given authority over him. Jesus defeated him 2,000 years ago. The Holy Spirit is in us to help us to enforce that victory and to walk in that authority. He'll empower you to do that. Jesus has already authorized you for victory over the devil. But so many believers don't realize that, and they don't really have an understanding of working with God. They kind of feel like they're on their own. But somebody else is called to be an intercessor. They're the ones that, you know, are real tight with God. The pastor, he's real tight with God. But me, I can kind of just do whatever I want. See, that's not Bible. And that's not what I'm trying to do here, because Ephesians 4 shows me what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. And if I'm not equipping you for ministry, I've failed in one of my main purposes. So I can't give you mamby-pamby, limp-wristed, weak messages. I can't do it. Now, on the other hand, I can speak the truth in love and do it in a graceful way, as graceful as I can, without getting into condemnation, which is so tempted for a minister to do, get into condemnation. But for believers to take their place, I'm a partner with God, joint heir with Jesus. I'm a, look at that, minister of reconciliation. How can you be a minister of reconciliation with not knowing anything about intercession? That's good. For somebody. So he's here. You don't want to just go home? Should we just call it a day? Pastor's not in a good mood today. He's not telling any funny stories. You'll laugh when you get home. In the midst of our weaknesses, which we are all the time, in the midst of our weaknesses, when we are inadequate, whether we feel it, we are, the Holy Spirit will come and help us get the job done. The Holy Spirit is there to help. Prayer is a twofold partnership between you and the Holy Spirit. And when you realize that prayer is not something you are responsible for alone, it will change the way you pray. It will change things for you. We all have weaknesses when we come to pray. We don't like that, whatever it was blocking the driveway. In myself, I don't have the strength to move it. I don't have what it takes to get the job done. But when the helper comes, I do. And we need a partner to help us. We cannot pray like we need by ourselves. And so, and he adds the strength of Jesus. He adds the strength of Jesus to us in whatever situation we ask for help. We don't know how to pray as we ought. We don't have the know-how. Any person of prayer knows this. We face situations. We don't know how to accurately pray. We don't know all the details. Even if you hear the story, you don't know all that's really happening. You don't know what's happening behind the scenes. You don't have the whole picture. God knows. The Holy Spirit knows. He knows what needs to be prayed. I got to wrap it up here. I'll just skip all that for right now. Let me just end with this. A good way to look at intercession is I'm walking along and I fall in a hole. And I fall in that hole and I get banged up and I get scuffed up and I'm bruised and I'm hurt and I'm bleeding and I'm down in this pit and it's dark down there. And you know what else? You know, if you look at some of these movies, you just don't know what's living down there. And there's a couple of options. The first option is I can whine and complain. Oh, it's me. You know, I always fall in pits. I'm a loser. You know, bad things always happen to me. All that, you know, why God? Why am I in the pit? All the things that you could go through. Or you can take the other route is, I need help. Why don't I call on the helper? I need the Holy Spirit's help. And so that image of intercession then, or interceding, is that person reaching down and grabbing me tight and helping me get out of the pit. That's what intercession does. Now, it says in Romans that he'll intercede on the behalf of the saints. And so there is intercession for ourselves. But when you get a little more mature, you take that same intercession and take it over for the lost. They're in the pit and they don't have a second option that they know of. So they're just flailing around, you know, in the pit by themselves, scared, doing stupid things, being ugly, making things worse. And that's what the lesson of being lost. And we We can work with God. We can partner with God and stand in the gap for people that are in the pit. And together with the Holy Spirit, we can help reach down and rescue people. Reconcile people. Ministry of Reconciliation. Now there is a side to it where we act and we're the ones that are going to go pray for them and speak the words. But if we're not, we need the other side, because God can't do anything without the prayers of His church. His hands are tied unless someone prays it and speaks it. And so this last 7 days of corporate prayer, first of all, I want to challenge you to come join us. We had over 50 different people. I would love to see 100, but I'm not going to be on your face, send you text messages. I've done that before, reminding you about it. You come if you're willing. But in this next 7 days, let's go to another place here. Let's come in here and do business with God. Let's come in here and realize the Holy Spirit is in me. I'm working with my brothers and sisters, and we're working on something. And it may be for someone on the... It may be... My son's over in Thailand. How do I help him? I can't just run down the street and go help him. How can I help him? I can intercede for him. And if something's going on, I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to show me. Now, the beauty of it, he and Becky, they know this too. So I have confidence, but I want to be there. I don't want to be having a bad day when they're having a bad day. I don't want to be getting in the flesh when they need me. But not so even here, but there's so many people in our world. We may be the only person that cares or knows God or even knows how to pray or knows the word. And if we don't know what we, you know, if we don't step up, if we don't yield, who's left? In the case of Ezekiel, God found nobody. So let's see where we can get this week. And if it gets so, if the building starts shaking, we may have to go another week. Maybe we'll have corporate prayer every day for the rest of the year. I don't know. That might be hard in the flesh, but we get to work with God. We get to partner with Jesus on what He's doing in the earth. We get to converse with the Father. He is in us. He dwells in us. Praise God. Let's stand, everybody. Let's just begin to worship Him. And I hope and pray that I didn't get into any condemnation today. That's not my heart. I love you. I'm trying to teach and train. And sometimes you get on the edge. You get on the edge, and I've crossed over the edge many times. Years ago, I was so mad at the congregation. This is back on Wrightsboro Road. We had that plexiglass pulpit. I slammed that thing so hard, I thought I broke my hand. I was so mad. Just got in the flesh. Sunday morning preaching. Hell, fire, and brimstone. Remember that, Eddie? Whoo! So I have this mantra, remember Wrightsboro Road. That helps me. Came into prayer time yesterday. This is after, I've been to every one, but maybe most of them I've been on town. Came into prayer time yesterday, discouraged. You ever been discouraged? Just like everything just seems to be not working and not going right. and just feeling blue and down on myself and mad at the world. And Susie didn't know it, because I'm just, I hide it better. As you get older, you can hide it better. And I was discouraged. But I've learned in these prayer times. And so I just got into God's presence and began to worship Him and begin to say things about me that I know and give myself over to God. And I'm telling you, it was just like honey from heaven. Just came down upon me, and all that stuff left. In His presence. I wasn't even praying about my situation. This corporate time, I'm not even praying about in my needs. I'm praying about what God's doing in the earth and in this city and for this church. But I'm just telling you that the helper just did what He does. Comforts and strengthens and encourages, and just in a moment. But even if it hadn't been, I mean, I'll be patient. But I know it's coming. I know it's coming. I know Him. I'm not going to live there. I'm not going to live in discouragement. I'm not going to live in a perpetual being down. I'm not going to live there. But let's just give Him praise. Oh, thank you, Lord. Help us. Help this church. Help the people of Good News Church. Lord, may we step into our place of ministry where we realize who we are and what we have and what we can do. And Lord, this week, may we do a little better in yielding. A little better in yielding, Father. More of us stepping up. It's not a thing of pride. It's not about that, but more of us yielding and giving ourselves to the Holy Spirit for the lost, for the world, for what you're doing in the earth. Lord, may this be a year of great fruitfulness, great fruitfulness, fruit that remains, fruit that abides. May we move forward in a significant way, not in the way that I think should be, not my measurement, but your measurement. Move forward like you're leading and directing. And Lord, I'm asking for Holy Ghost boldness. We have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. We're not going to be timid. We're not going to back down. We're not going backwards, but we are moving forward boldly. Confident in you with a plan from heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Everybody in place. Everybody in the right place. Everybody walking in their ministry. Know who they are. Lord, give us a passion for this city. Give us a passion, Lord, for the lost. Lord, give us compassion for those that are lost in our world. That's not acceptable. That's not right. So as we close, I'm closing here. But just take a moment. Someone that you know, just go ahead and stand in the gap for them right now. And we'll do some teaching on how to pray, but do the best you can. But someone that, it might be someone close to you, might be a family member, whoever God places on your heart, just take a moment, pray for them right now. Send forth laborers. Remove blinders. Eyes to see, ears to hear, heart that is receptive. Just the person that they'll listen to. Lord, rescue them. Rescue them in the name of Jesus. Reach down, pull them out of the pit. Devil, take your hands off God's property. You'll not have them any longer. Speak freedom, Lord. Walk in the place that you have for them. Find out who they are. Really live. They may live. They may be alive. Oh, thank you, Father. I know you hear our prayer. You hear the prayer of the righteous. You respond. The angels are ministering to those that are heirs of salvation. Oh, thank you, Father. You're so good. Let the overwhelm them with your goodness. It's your goodness that leads to repentance. Open up their eyes to see you, how good you are. Darkness has got to go and light come. Light. Thank you, Father.